Thank you all for being here today. As we begin, do we have a volunteer for prayer this morning? Rob Eisler, would you pray? Would you pray on our behalf? Let's all stand together. Remove your covers, if you would, please. Rob? Thank you.
Dear Lord, as we gather here to do the business of the county, please let us be mindful of the wisdom that you can impart on our minds, as well as the efforts we make and all the great work that our employees of the county do. Government is tough, and your guidance sure makes it a lot easier. Please give us your wisdom so that we may do the will of the people that is pleasing to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Say our pledges together, first to the American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag?
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible,
into five states.
Thank you. We can let the record reflect that all are present at our commissioner's court today. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve the commissioner's court agenda.
Move.
Second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Move to the next item. Consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session dated January 29, 2019, as submitted. Are there any changes to the minutes that we need to make?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Let's move to the consent agenda.
I move on consent. I have no changes.
I have changes, Judge.
Okay.
I want to move A1 to the open agenda, please.
Okay, we can do that.
I'll second your motion, Charlie. Or I'll amend my motion to bring 8A forward.
A1.
I move on consent with that change.
I'm sorry?
I move on consent with that change. Or did
okay.
you move?
I moved
second.
On it.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Let's move to page 8 of 12, if you would. We have just moved consent the consent calendar A1 to the open calendar. Consider and approve the appointment of a member of Commissioner's Court as primary voting member and the alternate voting member to the Transportation Policy Council, Houston Galveston Area Council, representing Montgomery County, Texas, for the term ending December 31st, 2019. Appoint County Judge Mark Keough as the primary voting member. Appoint County Commissioner Charlie Riley as the alternate voting member.
I just want to remind the court that these nominations or these appointments were voted on by the court. And I don't really see a whole lot of reason to be changing right now in February of 2019 with appointments that have already been made and voted on. And I would like to see that completely flip-flopped, where I would stay as the primary voting member and Judge Keough would be the alternate member, and I make that motion.
I second, and I agree. I kind of think maybe the judge needs a little time to get his feet on the ground of what we're doing here without throwing him into the TPC.
Sure.
It takes a lot of time, and Commissioner Riley has been doing that for a while and has made some good connections, and I would second that motion. Let's look at it at a later date.
Okay. Before we vote, just so we can go on the record, the only I would concur that that Commissioner Riley has got some institutional knowledge here on what has taken place with HGAC. I also think that Commissioner Metter does as well. The reason I put it on there, I think it should be noted, though, is because, and I went back and looked at the video to make sure that I wasn't overstepping my bounds. And the discussion came up at the end about, and I even checked the minutes, and it was kind of unclear in the minutes, but I did check on the video, and even at the end, when we were in miscellaneous, this topic came up as the result of an individual coming here and saying that according to the documents that he had, that it needed to be that way. And then Commissioner Nowak made a motion. And Charlie, as I recall, you even said, well, you can have it. I don't want it. You can have it all. To which I said, no, I want you to be there. And I said, but we'll bring it up on the next agenda. We can look
nobody,
at the video.
Nobody said anything about you overstepping your bounds at all. This was brought up. Somebody read a resolution, and we couldn't talk about it.
Correct.
And I made the comment, hey, we'll talk about it, and if I have to, I'll give it up. But I don't think I have to. I think we leave it like it is, and we move forward and keep moving forward.
Yeah, and just so you know, I put it on there because as I went back and looked at it a second time, it's pretty clear you were ready to just give it back to me. That's why I put it on there. And I discussed this with you. As you recall, last week I went to apologize for it not being on the agenda, which it would have been nice if you'd said something at that time, but you didn't. And we just kind of just let it go. So I put it on this. So much so that I didn't put it in the open agenda. But that being said, I think we have a vote on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, let's move on the agenda.
Judge?
Yes.
I'd like to point out that we have some elected officials in the room from the township, and
great.
If the court is willing, I'd like to move the township presentation to the beginning so they can get back to their township business.
I think we can do that. Let's go ahead and do that. So that would be under...
I'm trying to find it on the...
Yeah, no, here it is. It's under County Judge, and it's 11D. Consider and discuss presentation by the Woodlands Township regarding potential incorporation and issues related thereto.
What is it? 11B?
D.
11D. D.
Oh, D.
I'm sorry. Not in some page 9.
Thank you,
yes,
Judge Keogh and Commissioners for having us today. We do have a presentation, and you do have handouts. Let me grab the...
Amber, do you have a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Thanks, Judge.
I just handed the county clerk amendments to a transition proposal that we have put together, responsive to feedback we had from county's attorney's office and Commissioner Nowak. We do have a presentation to kind of walk through what we're asking for from the county. Before I get started with that, we have display boards here, which I know may be hard to see. Nick, can you put that one on this side? That we went through with our community in a forum back in September, outlining the history of the Woodlands, what this incorporation is about, what are the steps to incorporation, and really identifying that it's a two-step process. So if you look at the governance, Mr. Mitchell started purchasing land south of here back in the 60s, actually worked with the city of Houston to put the future Woodlands community into their ETJ. And as the community grew and land was added, we actually ended up straddled into the city of Houston and the city of Conroe's ETJ. There are a lot of issues that occurred over the years. We've been operating as a homeowners association for the most part up until the 90s. The city of Kingwood was annexed by the city of Houston, and that started a rebellion of short sorts in our hometown. The outcome of that was our citizen-led boards of the associations, our legislators, Mr. Eisler is here in the room with us, Tommy Williams and others got legislation passed in the 2000s that our residents had to codify. So there's been a lot of discussion. You may have received calls and emails about, you know, what is this about? Who's rushing all this stuff? The truth is, this started in the mid-90s. A vote was passed by our residents in 2007, basically establishing the township the enabling legislation, the implementation of a property tax, an expansion of a sales tax, and the boundaries of the township as it is today. 82% of our residents voted for this. And part of that included the eventuality of becoming a city. So here we are, about 12 years post that vote, still working on the planning process. And that's where we are today. So when you look at the steps to incorporation, we're really at step 6 and 7, which is working on financial analysis and services to transition from a township to a city, about halfway through the planning process. So today, and you guys can see the presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm not used to this one. Okay. So I just want to provide you guys an update on where we're at. We have made proposals to the from the township to Commissioner's Court. Many of those proposals came over in the fall of 18. I understand that the court at the time decided to defer action and discussion until we seated a new court. Welcome to the court, Commissioner Metz and County Judge Keogh. We've had back and forth between legal counsel and review. So we do have transition agreements that we'd like for you to consider. We also want to answer any questions from commissioners' courts on any concerns that the county has. So we have what I call co-constituents. 4/5 of the commissioner court is elected by our residents. We sit in Commissioner Precinct 4, Commissioner Precinct 3, Commissioner Precinct 2, and, of course, the county judge is countywide. Our co-constituents are currently receiving services from the county that at a time that they would vote to incorporate would need to be transitioned orderly from the county to the new city. We started our incorporation planning study in 2018. The process was actually underway prior to that. We had to have corrections to our enabling legislation, which now County Judge Keogh and State Senator Brandon Creighton carried for us through the 2017 legislative session. In that bill, we had to make sure that we had the authority with the state to call for an election, but we also voluntarily added a covenant that protects our co-constituents, and that is our residents would have to approve the initial maximum tax rate as part of the initiative. As we move forward into the planning process, we have to look at the different service options that we have. We have a process that's been developed, and one of these things is identifying the things that we have to get transitioned from the county. So we have a draft agreement, which lays out what services the county currently provides, how we believe they can be transitioned over a 3-year period, and allows the county to transfer the costs from the county budget to the future city budget. Provides for an orderly transition and stability for county employees, and also allows the public safety and public services to be continued to our co-constituents. This only occurs at a date that's uncertain, and it only occurs if our co-constituents vote to approve it. So we do not have the timing of when this might occur. But at the end of the day, at the end of the transition period, the city of the Woodlands would have the same services that are provided to every other city in Montgomery County. We are not asking for anything more than that. So we broke down our transition proposal in between law enforcement and roads. Starting with law enforcement, I've spent time with Sheriff Henderson. I talked to him again yesterday. He's in D.C. and couldn't be here today. And through that process, he had concerns that if the Woodlands were to incorporate, that we have nearly 100 law enforcement personnel that are concerned about their future employment. If we worked through together what is the best way to avert those fears, and that is a transition period to make sure that those who the county currently employs know they have job certainty the day after an election occurs, which they'll not know the outcome of until election day. So we worked on this three-year transition agreement together. identifying the positions that are currently funded by the county and those that are currently funded by the township. Our proposal is, in year one, we expect a vote would occur after the county budget has already been passed. So the tax rate and the budget to provide these services would already be incorporated into your future budget plans. We believe the first year transition services the county could provide as it's already been taxed and budgeted to do so. In year two, three, we would have a shifting of expense to the new city, and ultimately in year four, the city is paying 100% of its costs. This is an org chart of the current law enforcement being provided to the Woodlands Township. The items in blue are the patrol, Montgomery County, I can't read the blue here, county levy personnel. In the yellow is the township-funded personnel. In the green is Harris County township-funded personnel. And in the gray is constable offices currently funded by the township. Transitioning over expenses, you'll see that the screen gets much more yellow. The new city would be taking on a lot of new expenses first year. And at the end of the transition period, 100% of the cost of the contract and services being provided to the community would be borne by the city. It is our intent to continue to fund the safe harbor detectives that we already do with the sheriff's office and the constable's office. And on your handouts, you will note there were eight property investigative detectives that were left off the org chart. We would include those eight detectives as well. It's important to note that this is not a new discussion with the county. Back in 2015, we started negotiating with the county for the District 6 Sheriff's Office. And this commissioner's court did approve a transition agreement that would allow the City of the Woodlands to acquire the Sheriff's District 6 operations that is within the Woodlands at time of incorporation. We think that we've been working together for several years on this, and we just want to identify the additional things that we need to consider. When it comes to roads, we had a good conversation last week with County Attorney and Commissioner Nowak based on feedback that we received. First year following incorporation, we would ask that the current commissioners, Precinct 4, Precinct 3, and Precinct 2, continue to provide the services they provide today. Again, this is assuming the vote is occurring after you've established a tax rate, you've already budgeted to provide these services. But in year two, we would pick up the expenses. And so that the county would be allocating the maintenance costs within our geography back to the City of the Woodlands. We know that might take time to work out. How do you track it? Good thing is we're not doing this tomorrow, so we have time to plan ahead. Other services that we have, you know, we outline, here's all the services the county currently provides. Here are the services the township currently provides. The only other service that we believe, based on discussion with Commissioner Nowak, is the signalization, the North Star system that is really a countywide asset, would can be continued to be maintained by the county. That connects to roads that would be within the city limits and also outside the city limits. And it's my understanding that this commissioner's court is trying to make that a countywide asset. We think that would make sense to continue with the county. Benefits of the plan, residential assurance that they have continuation of service at incorporation. These are our co-constituents. They elect me and they elect you. And at a time that they, the will of the people, thank you, Rob, choose to do this, I think we owe it as interlocal governments to provide them what does the transition look like. Provides for a period for the Woodlands to transition services, either through contract or staffing. Also provides a transition plan for county employees. And on the incorporation service plan, it allows us to work out what those costs are. This also reduces the county expenses. Following the years of incorporation, Montgomery County is disadvantaged. For the population that it has, this county has a substantial amount of unincorporated area. And if our residents choose to incorporate, you'll have additional budget funds to focus on the balance of the county. So as you guys were discussing earlier, having a voting membership on HGAC is important. And as the City of the Woodlands, we would become a voting member of HGAC, strengthening the county on that board, on that TPC council, helping direct funds into this county. Montgomery County does not get the same amount of funding that other counties of our size get. And we think with a City of the Woodlands being added to that voting membership, we strengthen our cause together. It also improves local representation when seeking state and federal funds. As a township, we are often not included in the conversation or as a direct recipient. As a city, we get added to that table. So this isn't about is incorporation good or bad. Truthfully, the decision doesn't reside with me or you. It resides with our co-constituents. All we are asking for today is consideration of if our co-constituents choose to incorporate, choose to approve their own maximum tax rate, that we as the current governments have a transition plan in place that allows that to occur. Honoring what they voted on in 2007 and something they would have to vote on in the future before any of these transition agreements would actually take effect. Do y'all have any questions?
So, Chairman and Commissioners, Judge, we are essentially being asked to partner with the township as they gingerly walk through this process of incorporation. Incorporation of the township is important to me, not only as a primary county service provider, but also as a resident of the Woodlands. The Woodlands is one of the best master plan communities in the country. The success that it enjoys is because of the very people that chose to live, work, play, and pray in the Woodlands. This one-time bedroom community has transformed from a vision created by a larger-than-life Texas oilman to a thriving township enjoying the benefits of a regional participation agreement protecting it from annexation until 2057. While free from the burden of roads, bridges, municipal courts, and other city functions, the township is able to focus on quality-of-life issues such as covenant enforcement, enhancing already amazing amenities, further development of its ISO 1-rated fire department, and so much more. Some say the township enjoys the best of both worlds, that it is able to levy and collect ad valorem property tax, has a unique use of hotel occupancy tax, and collects sales tax much like a city, yet the municipal-type functions are provided by the county. Some say this agreement leaves a township vulnerable to and unable to ultimately protect its own interests. In the end, as the chairman said, those that choose to live in the Woodlands Township are the very people that made it a success and will determine the future of the Woodlands. The people will vote, their voices will be heard, and they will decide if they want to become a city. Since this court, the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court, is being asked to partner with the township, I believe it's vital that we have all the information, that we ask every question, and that we participate with the Woodlands every step of the way, so we together can make the best and informed decision for our shared constituents. That being said, I know I have some questions. I'm sure this entire group does. And, Chairman, I think this is really the launching point for us partnering together and what this looks like, how it progresses. And I think one of the next steps will be for a workshop to be held, likely somewhere in South County where we can have the Woodlands residents in attendance and so they can ask us the same questions. Because, again, I view this as a partnership between us, and we need to make sure that our shared constituents understand the process, understand what we would be offering, and exactly how it would work. Fair?
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, there are obviously some issues. We have a lot of cities in Montgomery County. We don't have one that has recently incorporated. If we can set this aside or apart from cities that are already established and provide these kind of services, you know, Commissioner Nowak will be working through that. That's the one thing that bothers me is, are we going to set a precedent here? And maybe the fact that it's a new incorporation and we haven't had that in I don't know how many years, we can set this aside as something different. And that's the thing.
And we were very conscious of that concern, which is why we looked at what the services we were asking for and whether or not those are similar to what are provided to other municipalities in the county.
Yeah.
The transition period, you know, that's a very unique ask, but it's also tied to something like, to your point, hasn't occurred in recent memory. And it would be...
I think the last one was Panorama.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is understood, and we are conscious of that. We also think that not only is becoming a municipality inuring to the benefit of the county from a long-term budget perspective, but that benefits every constituent of the county. It also, from a city standpoint, the city of the Woodlands would be the largest city in the county, strengthening its position with the Texas Municipal League and that group that advocates for county governments. So we think there's a lift for the county. We think there's a lift for other municipalities. And the short nature of the transition agreement, I think, is defensible.
There's no doubt that we haven't had anybody incorporate in a while, and we certainly haven't had anybody with 125,000 people incorporate or that has acted
ever.
Like a city or has acted like a city since, I don't know, for the last 12 years or longer. I know y'all, I've been reading a lot about some studies. Y'all had some studies by a couple of companies. Have we seen any of those? Have we gotten a copy of any of those studies that we can go through or look at? Or
sure. So this is actually the third study on incorporation. There was one done in the past after the Kingwood annexation. There was one done in 2011. So this is actually the third study. So we do have a website, the woodlandsincorporationstudy.com, where all of the draft studies are available publicly. Every public session we've held is videotaped and recorded and indexed by subject. The public forum that we held in September is also available on the site and indexed by subject, as are the Q&As that were asked at that public forum. On the woodlandsincorporationstudy.com, there is also a Q&A section that consolidates the frequently asked questions and those answers that have been provided. We can certainly send you directly all the documentation, but it is all available. And we have sent the county attorney's office the legal opinions supporting the ability of the county for these certain things we've asked for. And we've gone back and forth with the county attorney and our external lawyers to make sure that we're both interpreting the state code correctly.
And I guess you would schedule... I mean, you can, I don't guess there's any, you can schedule a vote whatever time you want to, or is there a certain time of year?
We could have scheduled a vote as long ago as 2014.
But I mean, the 12 months of the year, can you schedule that?
No, it has to be a uniform election date. So okay. It would be May or November. And, you know,
but November would be after we set a budget and set a tax rate.
Which is.
May would be before, at
correct.
The end of the budget session, so you have that leeway.
We do, but and I don't know when election may or may not be called. I would give you my opinion, and I'm one of seven. Yeah. I would not hold an election in May with a low turnout. I would not hold an election in a period where few people actually participate. So I would anticipate any election being called would be a high anticipated turnout where the majority or the largest representation of our voters are weighing in. And that would typically be a November governor's cycle or a November presidential cycle. It's an important decision, and I think that, from my personal opinion, it would not be put out there on a ballot that didn't have high voter participation.
Gordon, let's get back to the websites and all. You know, I'm not real good at sitting down and looking at a bunch of websites.
We can certainly bundle it for you.
I like this. So if you got a couple of reports, and I think if I can remember right, there was a couple of companies or people that were doing some studies of Novak and somebody else.
So we have we started off with two consultants, and we had Matrix was our lead consultant, and Novak was our, I call it, a shadow consultant. We basically wanted to have two independent opinions of the financial analysis. leading up to the part or the position we're at today. There are other consulting groups that did sub-studies. So the road condition study was done by H.R. Green. They went through every street, every road, indexing, and, you know, and I don't know, this is a good question, I actually do have a question, if that's okay. What percentage of the county roads are concrete versus asphalt? Is any guess?
I got a lot of them in Walden, but I don't know how many miles it is.
I probably don't have 6% of concrete.
So most
with all of Alden Bridge, with my 800 miles of road.
So most of it's asphalt?
Yes.
What was interesting is that we were 99% concrete.
Yep.
As a community, which is a distinction. One of the challenges.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, one of the challenges we have is trying to identify the actual annual maintenance cost to include in our financial analysis. And so if there's records that any of the three commissioners have responsive to maintenance within your precinct, within our boundaries, that would be beneficial to us as we still try to complete the financial analysis.
Yeah, Walden streets are as old as the lake. And there's, as they age, there's a lot of maintenance involved. And we can probably provide you that information from our...
Well, Commissioner Matter, your precinct doesn't overlap our boundaries.
Right.
The question was really around, we were trying to ascertain the actual
within ours.
But I appreciate the challenge you have, because if you have that much asphalt, you have a lot more expense for maintenance.
We have done quite a bit. We have done some concrete repair, but our mainly is curb repair what open ditch we do have in the Woodlands. That's about all. I mean, we have done some concrete street repair, but not a whole lot.
Okay. Chairman, I think that Commissioner Matter was trying to give you an idea of how much the county has spent in an aging neighborhood on concrete roads, so you could factor that into your equation. And we can tell you exactly what the percentage of concrete versus asphalt is. We have a road maintenance log that keeps their inventory, and if that's important to you. In our conversations, I suggested that they use a $5 million number for road maintenance within the Montgomery County portion of the township. I think that would be a fairly accurate description of what the three of us, and I know you just got in, but a pretty good idea of what we would spend on an annual basis for maintaining the roadways within the precinct or within the township boundaries. And it's important to note, one penny of Montgomery County taxes generated last year, Tammy got me the number yesterday, $4,782,713. So we can get a perspective of what type of savings the county could be looking forward to should the township eventually incorporate. And that's just for the road and bridge function alone. So, you know, there are some efficiencies that we could see and hopefully reductions that we could pass on as a township moves towards incorporation or if they fully incorporate. Also, it gives the township a pretty good idea of what we spend servicing their roadways, and that's everything from maintaining, open ditches to picking up dead animals. And as I mentioned, I can provide the township with a list of all the work orders, everything that we've performed for the last 3 years, so they can get an idea of just what that looks like. The one thing that $5 million number would not doesn't take into account would be all of the equipment and that we have already on hand that the township would need, and I think that's where the potential of contracting for services would come into play. And commissioners, in order to keep this short,
I got one other thing.
No, I was just going to say, since we're going to go forward with a
move executive,
an executive session and then a public workshop. I don't know how many questions. I mean, I have a whole list. If we want to do it in the workshop setting, I'm fine with that, and then we can have more residents there. But
I just got one other thing. Now, Creekside is in Harris County. What is their position on?
Commissioner Cagle has been very supportive.
Okay.
He has initiatives that he still wants to complete in the Spring Creek corridor that ties into the 40 miles of off-road recreation that would go through our future city. So we would be asking for similar agreement from his precinct for Harris County. A little bit different on law enforcement side. The law enforcement presence from Harris County is much smaller. And if you review our law enforcement proposal, we will be required by state statute to have a city marshal. So we would stand up a small police department or police force to enforce ordinances that the sheriff's offices cannot enforce, and then also to service the Creekside residents with law enforcement that actually can patrol both counties. So we would be asking for the same on the roads.
I would like to make a comment. I would echo what a lot of what is being spoken here. One of the issues that came up that, man, I just think needs to be kept in mind is the issue of treating this just like any other city. I mean, we have a situation here where they started in the early 70s. They moved well past the general law city of 5,000 many years ago. When I moved to the Woodlands in 1996, it was 45,000. So it moved so quickly. There was legislation already in place to kind of turn that around and direct it towards the city. And there's no other place in Texas that is anything like it in terms of its growth or the size of the township. It is a township in itself, which I believe we're the only township in the state of Texas as well, so it's a whole new set of issues, which is what the issue of the legislation had to do with Rob, Tommy Williams, and then what Steve and what I went through in terms of moving us along. So it's a huge part of this. It's so unusual. And so as we move forward, and again, as Commissioner Nowak has said, we want to do what the people want to do, and here as Commissioner's Court. And the next step for us today is we're going to meet and discuss some issues in our executive session coming up, and then move forward from there.
Well, we look forward to the public joint session, and any other questions or feedback you have based on the revised proposals we presented today. We're open to that dialogue and look forward to it. Appreciate your interest and time today, and we'll look forward to that public hearing.
Chairman, how many?
Thank you.
How many typically attend your public workshops?
It's less than 40 people.
Okay, so I was just trying to figure out where we could host it, because we could do it at the South County Community Center, but if we're going to have hundreds of people show up, we might need to have it somewhere else.
I mean, we had in our public forum, which was the large one, we exceeded room capacity, and that was over 400 people. But that was a much broader, deeper dive into the entirety of where we were at back in September. For a workshop on transition of public works and law enforcement, I don't know if it'll draw that much of an audience, given that it's really a discussion about a current service provider and a future service provider just doing a baton handoff. I don't know that that's going to generate as much interest.
I have two things that I want to ask just quickly. Because it's questions that I think I know I've been asked. I think our court is curious. Can you just explain the need to revisit incorporation now, or as you may say, continue the conversation that started in 1960, however you want to explain it, but what's sure. The focus today?
Yeah, so I came on the township board in 2012. There is no existing transition plan for the Woodlands Township to transition into a city. There were two prior studies, but they fell short of actually presenting a transition plan. As a good governance and a planner, I'm a financial planner by trade, that's irresponsible. The outcome of the original vote and the regional participation agreement is the Woodlands, Texas, will become a city, whether it becomes its own city through incorporation or in 2057, annexation by the cities of Conroe and the city of Houston. So it's irresponsible not to have a transition plan. As the current service provider, being Montgomery County and Harris County, and the transitional government of the township, we're an interim government. It was always intended to eventually become a city. So we're working on actually the transition plan. The decision to actually hold an election on incorporation has not yet occurred. Despite how many times you hear it, it's still not on a ballot. It's still not being rushed. We're halfway through, and it takes a lot of dialogue to actually complete this. So we're open to having these public forums with transitional service contracts. At the end of the day, whether this ever gets executed in my tenure is irrelevant. The residents of the Woodlands deserve to know what a transition plan looks like should they choose to incorporate, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 35 years from now.
And for those who think that waiting till 2057 may be a viable option and having to deal with the city of Houston, is there anything that can be done in between now and 2057 legislatively that could preempt this? Is there a way to seek change in legislation to permanently keep the Woodlands from ever being taken by the city? Or SB 6 that passed last year, does it do you think that that applies to the Woodlands Township, or do your attorneys believe that that would apply to the township?
Well, I can let Judge Keogh.
Yeah. The legislature can change whatever they choose to change. That was a big issue last year. The people in Kingwood, in the result of what took place there, they jumped up and defended what we were doing last year based upon this very thing. And so anything could change over time. We, with carve-outs and whatever groups decide to do within the legislature. So, you know, as we move forward, it's important that we keep that in mind as the potential for change. Just the example last year when the issue of when we were voting on all on trees in Texas. I mean, we had to carve out certain areas, Conroe, the Woodlands, in order to be able to avoid that, which was already a done deal. So you have to, you're constantly changing things, and so that's all part of this, I think, scenario.
Well, with response to the question Commissioner Nolens was asking, new legislation does not unbind perfected contracts. There are contracts where the City of Houston and the City of Conroe signed and were voter codified in 2007. We're actually paying the City of Conroe and the City of Houston 1/16th of our sales tax collection within their regarded ETJs.
Would you continue to pay that in incorporation?
I was not on the governing body when those deals were struck, but it was a 99-year deal. Those funds will continue to flow to both the City of Houston and the City of Conroe, whether we incorporate or not.
What is, excuse me.
Yes, it's like India and the Panama Canal.
Which,
Hong Kong. You got 50 years of protection for 100 years of payment.
Again, I wasn't part of that governing body that negotiated that. I think that.
Sorry, Rob.
It speaks to the fact is, if we do not, and in the legislative session in 2017, when we were perfecting our bill, it was asked by every sitting legislator from the City of Houston, does this disrupt our contract or in any way impair our rights to A, the money, and B, the reversion of annexation? So our legal folks represented to us that the new legislation does not apply to us, given we are in a perfected contract that was established and voted on by the residents who live here. SB 6 has to do with people voting and approving annexation. In essence, our community voted and approved the contract that leads to eventual annexation in 2057 if we do not incorporate.
But you don't believe that at that point there could be or when the city comes knocking, that you could have an election to prohibit them from annexing?
As far as we know today, and I did ask for a deeper legal opinion on that subject, we do not believe that the bill applies to us. If it did, I'd stop paying them 1/16th of the sales tax and, you know, default because there would be no consequence. We have a contract. The City of Conroe will tell you that they have not given up their rights under that contract, and the City of Houston will tell you they have not given up their rights on that contract. And, you know, Judge Keogh can tell you how many state reps come out of the City of Houston. Quite a few. So it's not like they're going to give up their right to the future taxation or revenue stream that they have in a perfected contract.
Started formalizing your plan to transition, One of the things you talk about is there are triggers that would occur that would move the township to incorporation. And you had a video last week talking about some of those triggers. Could you explain what triggered
It's public. I mean, we had a viable long-term debate over roads. The county has the right to the roadway. The infrastructure, actually, the road thoroughfare plan actually gets approved by the cities of Houston and the city of Conroe. So as we've debated and voted on those issues in the last 4 years, we did not get a conclusion that was favorable for our residents. So that would be one. I also, in the same presentation, identified we've had three major flooding events in the Houston, in the Woodlands in 18 months. Tax Day, Memorial Day, and Hurricane Harvey. As a township, we are not in a position of strength to actually advocate for direct fund direct funds to respond to flood mitigation at our level. That ends up with the county, the mud districts, Harris County Flood Control. Right. We are, to Commissioner Riley's point, constituency of over 115,000 people. That is not a position of strength when you have a community that expects better local representation from those. They already think we are a city, and they're confused by why.
I might take offense to expecting better local representation. I think they get that from me. I'm not sure what you're.
Well, you're not the mud district, Commissioner.
Okay.
So I wouldn't take it personal.
But just saying.
But the
and Commissioner
added,
Riley.
And Commissioner Riley, and Commissioner Metz. You guys are not the mud district.
Okay.
But
you involved.
As a municipality, we are an additional authorized recipient of funds. We don't defray from the county level funding or the mud district level funding. We just become authorized, and there's other funds that we do not have access to as a township. The liquor tax. It's about $1 million a year of revenue that our community collects and remits to the state. The county gets $1 million. The city doesn't get its $1 million because we're a township. It's just a verbiage change. There's other things we can't do for our constituents, the now versus later, right? I didn't want this to be about it today. I can freeze our taxes for our 65-year-old and disabled as a municipality. I cannot do that as a township. I think as you guys talk about property tax reform and those most vulnerable to the increases, we can do something more for the seniors and disabled in our community under a municipal form of government than we can do as a township. Ordinances, firework bans, unenforceable. We live in the woods. We had the Bastrop fires, came strikingly close to our hometown. Just west of Magnolia, you can see the char.
Real close to Magnolia.
We can't keep people from open fires or fireworks. This past New Year's Eve felt like a war zone because everybody knows, and there are people posting now virally, that these firework bans are unenforceable. Shoot them off. Sheriff's not going to say anything. Fire department's not going to say anything. We're going to show up and try to convince them that it's a bad idea to shoot up fireworks in the middle of a wooded area, but we don't have the teeth. As ordinances can be imposed, we can send law enforcement who could take action to better protect our community. Maybe a pro for somebody who wants their house not to be burned down by an errant teen, maybe a con for the person who wants to shoot them off. You know, that's not what it's about. There is a strengthening for the community to be self-governed under the form of municipality. There are also inherent dangers, right? Yes, there's an increase in cost, and there's also the what occurs in other cities that you wouldn't want to occur here. And so at the end of the day, I did start off with saying it's a two-step process. Should they vote to incorporate, we become a general law city. The only authority we have is that granted by the state. The second part of the process is a home rule charter. That is where the residents of our community will write their own rules. Do they want to have a paid council and a paid mayor, or do they not want to pay them? Do they want to put in rules that prohibit implementing ordinances that are outside of our current covenants? They can write their own rules. The people can be in charge of themselves. We have a unique ability as a startup city to actually protect ourselves from the things we don't want to occur down the road. Or we inherit whatever the cities of Conroe and the city of Houston have decided decades earlier.
Chairman,
one last question, if you'll let me, please. Thank you for all your questions. You touched on this a little bit, but if you could revisit it. Where are we at now, and where are we going to be in the Woodlands in terms of the use of hotel tax? What do we do with it now?
Yep.
And what will happen in the future?
So we collect about $9 million of hotel tax. $150,000 a year is currently used in our budget that's not authorized as a municipality. So it's not a substantial deterrent to incorporation. We have some legislative initiatives that others are looking to take forward that would give us a little bit more utilization of those funds, whether we're a city or a township. There's also nothing preventing the township pre-incorporation from expending those funds in ways that aren't approved as a city.
Right.
So it depends on what the needs are at the time, but if there's a legitimate expense that would be disallowed as a city, there's nothing preventing the township from incurring it pre-incorporation.
Chairman, last question I have, and it's more of a comment, but it occurred to me sitting here, you're asking the county to potentially contract to provide some services at some point in time in the future based on a vote that may or may not occur,
yep,
and we don't know what the outcome of that vote would be. Might the county suggest that the township move forward with their incorporation plans and leave the county out of it? You factor in the cost that you come up with for incorporation, and then if there is a vote, the county, because I don't want to bind the future court to something that may or may not even happen. Why leave the county out?
I don't think we can
out?
From one budget year to the next.
Yeah, we can't. We don't have that ability. So if we leave the county out of it, you come up with what it's going to cost to incorporate, and then it's 100% in your court, and we're
out. That would be a very passive approach, and to me, not the most appropriate. We have already executed a contract with the county for the District 6 Sheriff's Office, which is styled almost identical to these transition contract agreements. It only triggers that point of incorporation. That was voted on and passed by Commissioner's Court in 2016. So
I think giving you first right of refusal on a building is very different than saying we're going to provide these services at this cost or these services at this point in time, especially, as you said, you may not be here. I may not be here. There's no guarantee that that would really happen.
At this point in the discussion, we've asked a lot of questions, answered a lot of questions.
Yep.
And as Commissioner Nowak mentioned a little bit ago, much of this, as we move forward, if we do go through the process of public meetings on this together to work on it, I think these are the kind of questions that need to be asked and answered.
Sure.
But if there are no other questions at this point, we want to thank you for coming.
Yep.
And giving us this presentation. You give us a lot to think about, so we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
For sure. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Also, we have with us, and I apologize that we didn't do this at the initial outset, as we were in discussion on the other issue, I overlooked it, but we do have public comment that we would like to have. And the first one is we have Amy Hamrick and also Jennifer Baca. Amy Hamrick, are you here? If you would state your name for the record and your position.
Thank you. My name is Amy Hamrick. I live in Precinct 3. I appreciate you, Judge Commissioners, allowing me to speak this morning. I moved to the Woodlands in 2008, so I just missed that vote that Gordy Bunch was talking about in 2007 about incorporation. But I moved from the Atlanta area, and actually the area where I worked was undergoing an incorporation just like the Woodlands is thinking about doing now. We were in that transition period when I moved. And it's given me a lot of concern now in the Woodlands, as I see this going towards the same possible conclusion. And the biggest problem in that was transparency. And a lot of things fell out of that annexation in Sandy Springs, Georgia, that was not made clear to us as residents and as business owners and working citizens there going into it. And I see the same lack of transparency here as well, and that gives me a lot of concern. Mr. Bunch just presented the transition, especially pertaining to law enforcement and road maintenance. I'm a little confused as to if that's the exact plan that the Board of Directors is presenting to you all. On the website, there are three different law enforcement plans in the study from, I'm not sure if it was the Matrix study or the NOVAC study, but one of them has the county, as I understand it, contracting for all services, not transitioning all the way to the township or to what would be the city of the Woodlands. I would like to see a little bit more transparency. I would like there to be a little bit more of an open dialogue between Commissioner's Court, the directors, and the citizens of the Woodlands. I would hate to be put into a position where we become a city and then all of a sudden we don't have money for services like road repair and, you know, of course, adequate law enforcement. I'm also worried about the overlap with Harris County. We have the situation with Gosling Bridge where we've been in a fight for years over who's supposed to pay for that. It's supposed to be the Woodlands, Harris County, Montgomery County. Are we going to be in a position every time there's a roadway that runs Kirkendall or any other roadway that runs from Harris County into Montgomery County where we have to worry about who's going to pay for it going
forward? It's Commissioner Riley's fault.
No.
Well, I have never lived in Riley's precinct, so I'm going to leave him out of it. But,
but we appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Judge Ms. Hamrick, thank you so much.
If I may say one thing.
Yes.
I've been asked countless times, Chairman Bunch, this is the NOVAC study, not related to the NOAC that sits in court. I've been receiving calls as to why is my family involved in the incorporation process.
And did I say NOAC?
We are not. Ago? I don't know, but just want to make sure it is NOVAC.
Did I say NOAC while ago?
I think you did.
Dang it,
all
Charlie.
Right.
There you go again.
Jennifer Baca, you'd state your name for the record and your position, please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jennifer Majors Baca. I moved to the Woodlands in 1978. And as a Montgomery County resident who expects taxes to go up as CISD becomes a Chapter 41 district in the next year or so, and it enters the state recapture program, sending our tax dollars to other districts, I want assurances that our taxes are not going to go up to make up that difference, be it through county tax, city tax, or hidden franchises. I'm also concerned about what political motivations may be at play when there's no obvious reason to rush into incorporation and conservatives aren't supposed to raise taxes and grow government. What personal political motivations are there to break the long-held political ideology? So, as a suggestion, anybody that serves on the township board could say that they would not run for those positions, or I'm concerned about the fact that we seem to use fear tactics to scare people, and you can say that you've provided information to the community, but it's like a classroom of children. You have to slow down and wait for the slowest one. It's not about what you put out there. You've already fired one consulting company. Like I said, I've lived here a long time. I've watched it grow. And I don't want anything to change this awesome community we live in. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. All right. Moving on in our agenda to item. Yes. There was only
I didn't.
There was at the, yeah, we have one at the end, and that would be the last Eric Yollick. Thank you. All right, moving on to item 10A, Office of the Court of Administration. We have with us Judge Hamilton, Judge Gilbert.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Simon and Garfunkel here back again. we just very quickly want to remind you that last fall, the Board of Judges approved the creation of a new district court. We came to Commissioners Court in November, and this court also approved and signed a resolution to create that district court. Now Representative Steve Toth has introduced a bill to the House that would create that new district court. But we have a new commissioner's court with two new members. So we're back here today just asking that this court, with now Commissioner Metz and County Judge Keough, that you reaffirm the approval and the resolution that you granted in the fall for the creation of a new district court.
Judge Hamilton, and I will move on this. I'm not so much interested in reaffirming the previous court's position as I am stating this court's position. I was opposed to the resolution the last time because I thought that we should wait for this court to make that decision because we're the ones that are ultimately going to be budgeting for it. And also, I had some hesitation in conversations with some of our senior leadership in Austin about the budgetary process and would this receive priority. And just last week, I know we have both found out that it looks favorable in Austin, and so I'm happy to be supportive of the issue this time around.
I appreciate that.
I second.
Absolutely. Yes, move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion
Thank
carries.
Thank you so much. We'll
Thank
go back
all.
To our courtroom.
Thank you, Judge.
Appreciate it so much.
Do you have the written thing that you had typed up, Judge Keogh?
I sure do. Have it right here.
If we get five signatures, I know we have five local representatives in Austin that are anxious to get a copy.
Absolutely.
Exactly, as they move forward. You
Thank
betcha.
You so much.
You betcha. All right. Thank you. Next agenda, 11A. We have with us today Larry Forrester, who's the chairman of the Montgomery County Historical Commission. Larry, why don't you come forward and share with us? We're going to put 5 minutes on that for you, if you would, please. Share with us.
I can make it even quicker than that, Judge.
Each
year, our Montgomery County Historical Commission has a responsibility both to the County Commissioner's Court and to the Texas Historical Commission, of which we report to both, to give the County Commissioner's Court and the Texas Historical Commission an update on our activities for the previous year, calendar year 2018. We have two new members of the court. I've had the opportunity to visit with Judge Keogh personally, along with his staff, and also with Mr. Pandy, the county auditor, who we work very closely with in our experience. Before you is the annual report for 2018 of the Montgomery County Historical Commission. For the benefit, probably not necessarily of the members of the court, but of the people that are here, I think I want to emphasize who we are and who we are not as a county historical commission. We are not a nonprofit corporation. We are not a 501c organization. We are, in effect, by statute, a department of Montgomery County, reporting both, as I said, to the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court, where we are budgeted funds each year, and also to the Texas Historical Commission. Chapter 318 of the Texas Local Government Code provides the mechanism for your commissioner's court to approve members to serve, to assist, as it says on the first page of your report, in our mission to discover, circulate information pertinent to the historical identity of Montgomery County, Texas, as well as the placement of historical markers, and to cooperate with other persons, groups, organizations, and agencies in preserving the history and heritage of Texas. So that is our obligation to the people of Montgomery County, and I guess we could say to the state of Texas. In your report, I detail a summary of the activities for 2018, and I'm not going to sit here and go through each and every one of them. We are very proud that this past year we were recognized for the sixth time as a distinguished service award from the Texas Historical Commission. We have a number of activities, some of which are probably similar to what we would have, what you might find in other active county historical commissions around the state. There's some that are unique. For example, we have a youth advisory board that is composed of selected junior and senior students at the high schools and private, public, and homeschool students from throughout Montgomery County that assist us as an adjunct organization with some of our activities. For instance, they participate in cleaning of historic tombstones in Montgomery County to preserve those tombstones. They also participate in our history road rally, which is another unique activity that I don't think any other county historical commission has. And what we do is each year we target an area of the county where we assist people with a history scavenger hunt of those areas. And each one of them get history road warrior button like the one you have in front of you. That one happens to be, since we were in Montgomery this past month, that of Charles Bellinger Stewart, of course, who designed the Lone Star flag, of which our county is so proud of, and also served in many other important capacities during the time of the Texas Republic. And One of the things we've done this year, I'm very proud that we're really making strides in improving our website. The goal is that anybody, anywhere in the world, can learn about the history of Montgomery County on site. Be able to look at maps, to pull up information about the various historical structures in the county, and it'll be a compilation of many historical research narratives on the county, all of which is a building, a website. But we're working with representatives from the History Department of Sam Houston State University so that we can also include this in some of their websites to further promote the county. Another thing that we've done this year is we, for the first time, have a historical walking self-guided tour of downtown Conroe. You've got a copy of that here. This is just a quick reference to the historical buildings in downtown Conroe. They'll go back, some of the buildings go back to about 1900, maybe even pre-1900. That, in connection with a narrative that you can see online, will assist people in learning more about this community. We want to do the same thing in Montgomery, Magnolia, and other areas around the county. So that's an overview of our activities. We have some 31 people on there from a variety of backgrounds throughout the county, and the goal is to preserve, promote, and make sure that the quality of life in Montgomery County is improved by the pride that we get in our unique county history. With that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. I want to thank you for your continued support of what we do each year, and your funding for our organization.
And we appreciate it very much.
Thank you,
Larry.
Very much.
You're awesome. We appreciate you coming. Are there any questions?
Thank you for all y'all do, Larry. And I know how hard you guys work, how many hours you put in. And I'm working on the bridge.
We'll get together with you on that. Thank you,
gentlemen. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, item 11B. Consider, discuss, and take action on positions that have been vacant over 90 days as of January 25th.
Move.
Just a heads up on some of those. I did provide the list to the judge's office for the agenda. We do have a couple of positions that I do need some information on.
Yeah.
Animal control, they had a office supervisor position open. They
close
did
it.
Fill that. They turned a PCR in.
Well, of course.
Hold on a second. Go ahead and finish.
They turned a PCR into us, to our office, Thursday or Friday of last week. The IT AV system support, that is on it's on this agenda for them to do something with that position. And then I did send in an email to the judge's office. Some other department heads did contact me about their open positions.
Our treasurer's office and a deputy treasurer. That we wanted to make a modification to the list. You had it on your backup material.
I got you.
So with that in mind then, with modifications, and there being, I'm seeing only one. You're saying there's more modifications on this list?
AV system support.
First one?
Office supervisor for the animal control.
Mm-hmm.
And then the deputy treasurer.
How much money are we talking about here, Amanda?
So there are, the list that we currently have has nine positions on there. AV system support, total compensation with benefits, $115,654.
No, I'm talking about how much are we sweeping?
So currently we've swept basically up to this point all of their current vacancies. And that's a different report that I've done, but let me...
Just generally speaking, annually, what do we say? What are we sweeping?
Yeah, so annually, if you ended up closing all of these positions, it would be.
About $265,000. $115,000,
$53,000,
and
$90,000. No.
Just a
Those are on the ones we're keeping
Approximate that. I'm not looking for them.
Annual would be $396,000.
How many positions, roughly?
That's six positions, $396,000.
That are being closed? All right, move with modifications.
And it doesn't really preclude these department heads or elected officials from hiring these people. They just have to come back through court and get approved.
Correct. What they would have to do, basically, is put an open item on the agenda to open those positions.
Okay.
And then the court at that time would have to, obviously, either approve it or not allow those positions to be open. And then, in effect, there would be an open PCR that goes along with those if they're trying to hire the same day.
Yeah. All right.
Do we have a second? I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. If we consider item 11C, we've gone ahead and taken that down, and we'll revisit at another time. Also, we've already done item 11D. So at this point, Judge Dunn, if you could come up and share with us. Justice of the Peace, Precinct 4. Thanks for being here today.
And Judge, to save you from having to read all that, if you just want to ask,
okay.
Perfect.
So essentially, this is just a reorganization of the office with current staff, just moving some positions around and salaries around. The most important thing for the taxpayers in this paragraph of information is no additional funding needed, no additional budget dollars are needed for the reorganization.
Very good.
We have a motion.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Good to see you.
All right. 13A, Information Technology. Bobby and Chuck, come on up, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
If possible, we'd like to take these two at the same time
And
just ask that you guys approve the restructuring based on these two agenda items as written.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Judge, I just want to point out that the cost savings to the citizens of Montgomery County on an annual basis will be $145,410.87 due to these changes.
Beautiful.
We made a good decision. We're moving forward, and I look forward to the direction under y'all's leadership.
I agree.
Good. This is a good job, and you're jumping in and restructuring this deal as well based upon recent events. Thank you all very
much. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, District Clerk Melissa Miller.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. As part of my reorganization for the District Clerk's Office, I would ask that you please consider and approve the changes as listed in Item 14A, and also note that there is no new funds that I'm requesting.
Move.
Second.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you all. Constable Precinct 5.
Judge, Commissioners, thank you all for having me. I'd like to ask y'all to consider and approve the payout for retired employee previously in position 5551, the captain's position, in the amount of $17,000 plus benefits being $21,000, a little over $21,000. Most of it was paid for by the open vacancy, but we're going to need to name a funding source for the additional $6,744.60.
I move on the $6,744 out of contingency.
Second.
Okay, discussion. I have a question.
Yes.
Constable. First of all, thank you for being here today and presenting this to us. Also, thank you. I know on the preliminary agenda last round, you had it in there at a full amount. We'd made some changes, and you made a huge effort here to take those monies from already existing funds.
Yes.
So it wouldn't continue to come out. And certainly applaud you for that. I made some statements early on about how we're using our contingency monies, especially as it relates to overtime and comp pay, with the understanding that currently in overtime and comp pay, we have an unfunded liability to the county of $14 million.
Yes, sir.
And there are departments that are doing it the right way. We've got Commissioner Nowak's paying overtime, which is one way of doing that. Another issue, another one is Rand Henderson. My department that we're doing is we've got people that come into our department with comp and vacation, giving them time off. And with that in mind, I said I would continue to talk about this contingency issue because you have a fund here that's being used because not your fault. We owe the money to the employee. I'm not trying to take away anything from anybody. It's an issue of how we manage. And it seems to me that the previous regime allowed this so that the individual retires and walks away with a check for $21,000, okay, unbudgeted. That's the issue. So where do we get the monies from? And obviously we're going to take it from contingency. And so if you would, as you move forward in your department, from my perspective, please work at this comp and this vacation time and getting that to a place where people leave or change or go to another department, all of a sudden we have to write a check that's not budgeted for.
I'm going to take it one step further. I don't see how we can penalize somebody who comes to work every day, does not take off, accrues this time. We don't punish that guy, make him take off. He deserves what he's getting when he retires. If he saved all this time up, we owe it to him.
Yeah,
he didn't take off during the week. He didn't call in. Contingency is not an emergency item.
It all depends on how you define it. But the fact of the matter is all you have to do is accrue it along the way. We know we figured into a budget.
Yes, sir.
If we know that it needs to be budgeted down the road, that's all that I'm asking for.
Yes, sir. And if I may on this part right here, he was a captain. He was not accruing any comp time at that point.
This is all vacation time.
This is all vacation time.
Who's
been there for 29 years to accrue, I believe, 5 weeks throughout the year, and that is taken from us on a yearly basis anyway. We can only carry over 200 hours.
Sure.
So this guy, he's actually been losing hours every year, and if he wouldn't have retired, he would have lost that extra 103 hours.
So it's 100% vacation time for 100%. Someone.
That is correct. He had no comp time. He had
303.76 hours.
Okay. Here and please understand.
And I
want
to
be paid.
We work on a daily basis.
Yeah.
To try to take care of our comp.
So we don't come up and have to keep going back to reserve monies that should be in the budget along the way.
Yes, sir. I understand. We've paid off our comp just about every year, and we try to keep everybody below 80 hours.
I
agree with both sides over here. If you have vacation time, you need to be paid for it. If you have comp time, we need to manage the comp time so we're not paying this out. But in this case, if somebody has 5 weeks, we can't, and they didn't take their vacation and they quit, there's really nothing we can do but pay them out. We have to do that.
Yeah, and a lot of times they do that. They'll save it up. This was a retirement that they've done. On our comp time, though, we usually try to keep our comp time under 80 hours.
Yeah.
If they receive comp time, because in our office it's inevitable, you're going to receive some comp time. You're going to make an arrest
at
midnight.
In almost everybody's office is that way.
You're going to make an arrest at midnight, not get home till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
So you're going to get that comp time, but we try to manage it every pay period and keep it down. And then at the end of the year, with our overtime budget, we will eliminate that overtime budget to pay off comp time that year at that rate.
Well, here's the deal, and here's kind of how I look at it, and y'all don't have to agree. You can vote me down. Makes no difference. If that was your money, and all of a sudden somebody hits you with a check for a need for $21,000, you might be asking along the way, how come we didn't calculate this in?
Yes, sir.
Or how come we didn't figure out a way to do it? And I don't think we're asking too much. That's how business does it. That's how corporations do it. We have just gotten used to having this reserve account, whatever it is. Call it contingency, call it where we swept our money. There's all kinds of different things I've come to find out that are going in there. Then, okay, but let's just, if that's what the plan is, then at least designate, it's not your issue, but designate within that account where it needs to go so that we can take it as needed. So it's budgeted. This is not our money. It's the taxpayers' money. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir. And
so with that in mind, we still love you. And if I need to come across there and give you a hug, man,
On this one right here, it was just a vacation time. We usually do manage our comp time very well. So,
with that in mind, we have a second. All in favor?
Thank you, Constable.
Opposed? I oppose.
Thank you.
All right. Item 16A, tax assessor and collector. Where are we at? Tammy McCray.
Good morning. Mine's easy. I'm deferring. I'd like to defer this item until a future court date.
We appreciate that so much. Thank you, Tammy. All right. Item 17, Susie Harvey, elections.
Morning, Susie.
Morning.
Morning, Susie.
I ask you to consider and approve the conversion of County Judge Mark Keough's signature to a digital form and the use of that electronic signature on election documents such as joint election agreements and notices.
Move.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item 17B.
Thank you. Also ask you to consider and approve an order changing the polling location for County Election Precinct 41.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Appreciate so much, Susie. Item 18A, County Auditor Rakesh.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 18A, consider and approve the payment of accounts. I would like to point out that $11.879 million out of this payment is an approval for payment to TxDOT, which is contingent upon approval of a resolution to be discussed during the Toll Road Authority session and the execution of the MOA later on today.
Thank you.
Move.
Second?
Aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Appreciate it. Motion carries.
For the next Commissioner's Court, could you please bring us the current dollar amount of any unfunded liabilities with regards to time off for comp and comp vacation? And that would be great.
Yes, sir. We'll do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Item 19, purchasing. Gilbert?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Our first item, we're asking to approve the award of the following contracts. The first one's the vending machine contract. This is with Hometown Vending of Magnolia.
Move.
Second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. B?
And the next one's the prisoner extradition services. This is with U.S. Corrections out of Nashville.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is take all appropriate action to consider and approve permission to negotiate with PGAL for a facilities master plan.
I'd like to move on that, and I'd like to add that Judge Keough head up the facilities master plan project for Montgomery County.
Second.
We have motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Judge.
And then finally, we have request to negotiate an agreement with ASNG for our property casualty and workers' compensation third-party administration services contract.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Gilbert, thank you so much. Grants. Rebecca.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm asking you to consider and approve the grant applications as stated on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. All right. We move to 21 public hearing we have at this time. From grants to public hearing, and we're going to take a temporary recess of Montgomery County Commissioners Court. BD?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Under item 21A, in Precinct 2, is consider and approve establishing a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit on Jackson Road.
Is there anybody here today to speak on this item? I don't believe it is, BD.
Under 21B for Precinct 2 is considering approve establishing a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit in the Decker Oaks Estate Section 4 subdivision.
Anyone here to speak on this issue? Don't see anybody.
Then for 21B2 is to consider the partial revision of all of Reserve BD, E, and F, Block 1, the Meadows at Jacob Reserve, Section 6, to be replatted into the Meadows at Jacob Reserve, Section 6, partial replat number 1. Purpose of this replat is to configure 4 reserves into 18 lots in 1 reserve. There is a letter of no objection from the HOA, and the plat is ready today, so you will need to take action on that after the Commissioner's Court reconvenes.
Is anyone here to speak on that issue? I don't see anybody, Judge.
Then under Precinct 4, 21C1, consider and approve changing the name of Mid Lane to Mid Lane Street in the Eastwood Subdivision, Section 1.
Anyone here on that?
That's all with the public hearing.
All right. At this time, we're going to reconvene the Commissioner's Court. BD, are there any of these items that we need to take action on? Or can we take action,
take
on,
action
all
on all of them?
All of them.
Okay, do we have a motion to take action on each of these?
21A, B, and C.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you so much.
And we just took care of 22A.
Correct. In that, correct.
In that.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 3.
All right. Consider, discuss, take action on proposed resolution supporting legislative efforts being brought about to promote meaningful tax reform. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And then second, consider, discuss, and take action on canceling the Montgomery County membership to the Council of Urban Counties. We spend about $17,223 a year on that. I don't know that there's a huge benefit that we're getting from it, and they are opposing the meaningful property tax reform that we just voted in favor of, so I'd like to go ahead and withdraw from there.
Do we have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second. Yeah, discussion. I dealt with this group in the House of Representatives. They stood against our tax reform in the past as it was presented, virtually just like this time. And for the amount of money that we're paying, we just got another email that came out opposing what we're trying to do here in our legislative body. And so from that perspective, take a vote. All in favor? Bobby?
Yeah, if I can for a moment.
Okay.
The county participates in several programs as what they call the tech share from the Council on Urban Counties that we benefit from at juvenile probation, the emergency districts, so like the hospital district. I believe that our indigent defense is using a program of theirs that we participate in materially on an annual basis. I don't know that canceling a membership would have anything to do with that, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
I thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Do we know it won't have anything to do?
From what I understand, it's they're mutually exclusive. We have been, Bobby, how long have we been participating in those programs?
A long time.
Because we only joined Council of Urban Counties just a few years ago.
That's great. Judge, Commissioner,
come to the mic, if you would, please. State your name for the record, please.
Jason, I'm a judge's chief of staff. We researched the item in anticipation of this. Tech share and the other items that we utilize the resources for will continue as is. We were doing that as a county long before we became a member of the council.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Jason.
And what is the amount of money that we'll bring to the bottom line as a result?
$17,723.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all so much. All right. Human resources. Yes.
Good morning. Consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you. At this time, we're going to recess for an executive session. And we shall be back when we're finished. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Commissioner's Court, there's no action out of executive session. We do have a citizen that, if there's anybody here who would like to comment or to talk to us about something that either has been discussed or something that hasn't, you're welcome to come at this point. If you'd come and state your name and your position. Yes, yes. Yes, and we have 3 minutes. As a reminder.
My name's Dave Smith. I'm the GOP chair for Precinct 3 in the Woodlands. And I want to talk about the Transportation Policy Council. You know, the Policy Council meets monthly, and that council publishes minutes. And if you look through those minutes, it shows that Commissioner Riley only attended 3 meetings last year. You know, that's a pretty poor attendance record. And to me, he hasn't worked to represent the citizens of Montgomery County during that period of time, and really doesn't deserve reappointment. And then if you look at the second item, you know, I don't see any body of law that gives the commissioners a statement in appointing the members of the Transportation Policy Committee. If you look at the bylaws of the Transportation Policy Committee, Section E, it clearly states that the chief executive officer of the county is the one who appoints the members, and he can do it at any time. So to me, Commissioner Riley has demonstrated by his lack of attendance that he doesn't really care about this topic and that he should be replaced. Thank you much.
I can assure you that you didn't lose out on anything in the 3 minutes of meetings that I was there.
Well, sir, the minutes state.
All right. Mike, come share with us.
Well, Mike Bass, first meeting I've been to since you've been in the chair.
Yes.
But glad to be here.
Welcome.
As you know, I served on the Woodlands Township Board from 2012 to 2016. I was very heavily involved in the legislation that we put forward in 2017 because I went to the board in 2015 and said, you all realize that if we want to incorporate, we couldn't do it if we wanted to. And so that's when we started looking into it. It took us a while to figure that out and what we needed to do. And we appreciate your support when you were in the legislature on that because that was one way to prepare ourselves for incorporation no matter when it might occur. I just want to speak on the current study. I'm very involved in it in terms of watching from the outside since I'm not on the board. But I think I'd like to echo Commissioner Nowak's comments about there's a lot of decisions being made by the existing board that are going to require validation and support by future city council members and this court. And so there's no way to really know whether or not that support will be forthcoming. Okay. They can say today that they plan to enforce our existing covenants. Unfortunately, a city council can change that anytime once they're elected. Okay. They can say we're not going to annex the MUDs. Fortunately, a city council can change that anytime they want to. I'd like to point out that when we did our two-year resident survey in January 2017, the results came back. 70% of the people in the Woodlands, and this was 2,500 people representative of the Woodlands, 70% of the people were not in favor of incorporation, 85% weren't willing to pay an additional penny to incorporate. When we asked them what they thought about the services from the township, the county, and the MUDs, 85% of them said they were very happy. So you have to ask yourself in today's environment, what problem is the board trying to solve? Okay, and that hasn't been answered. This study is all about how, not why. And I would echo Commissioner Nowak's point is that because we have to set a maximum tax rate in the first year, it ought to be based upon what a city would normally do. And that means we need to have it needs to be based upon having our own police department, our own public works department, and the cost included in that. And then if once the residents approve it and the city council wants to negotiate with the county to do something different, they have the latitude to do it. But if we get a low-ball, low-cost estimate and a low-ball, low first-year tax rate, that city council is going to have their hands tied in terms of what they can do. So I appreciate your consideration and time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Are there any others? Yes, Eric.
I did sign up.
Yes, you did. Eric Yalick. You are on the agenda.
Thanks. My name is Eric Yalick. I live in Precinct 3. I want to give a Golden Hammer Award today to Commissioners Nowak, Riley, and Metter. And the reason is quite frankly, in a way, they don't necessarily fully deserve this Golden Hammer Award. But they did vote to spend $200,000 last April to go into a study on flood mitigation and noticing of flooding in the future with a four-letter word, SJRA. Now, I want to be clear about something. We're learning a lot about what the SJRA does in comparison to what they've been trying to tell the public in the last year and a half since Hurricane Harvey or Tropical Storm Harvey. And the reality is that if you look at the situation of Commissioner Metz, what he actually is now is he is the chief victim in Montgomery County of the San Jacinto River Authority. The San Jacinto River Authority, and I think Commissioner Riley was at this meeting with me in 2017 on September 26th. In that meeting, Jace Houston, the general manager of the authority, stated that they were in the flood control business and they were concerned about downstream impact of the San Jacinto Dam, of the Lake Conroe Dam. But the reality is that they filed in court documents after that meeting, this statement: neither Lake Conroe nor its dam was designed to function as a flood control facility, but simply exists to maintain a level of water so as to supply its customers with a previously contracted amount of water. The reason that I'm giving the Golden Hammer Award today is the San Jacinto River Authority, in their latest audited financial statement, shows that they have unencumbered cash of $41.8 million. They have a statutory authority or statutory duty to provide flood control in the original enabling statute of the authority. There is no reason that county taxpayers should be paying 1 cent for flood control. There is no reason that commissioners, Metz constituents, should fear every time it rains, not knowing what the San Jacinto River Authority is going to do with their dam. It's time for the San Jacinto River Authority to step up and take on their responsibility that the legislature gave to them back in 1937. And it's time for this commissioner's court simply to say no to spending further county tax dollars on something that the San Jacinto River Authority has the money and the statutory duty to do. I hope you'll refrain from spending any more money on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yalick. All right. Is there anyone else? Do we have a motion to adjourn court? Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. We appreciate all very much, and it's over. We are adjourned.
Judge, you know-